that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. All right, praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to go to 2 Peter today, 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read some scriptures out of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll read verse 1 through 9. 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll read verse 1 through 9. Yeah, get it? Just say amen. All right. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that are obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we just thank you again to be able to come together as the family of God. We thank you for the people that are online watching, and we just ask this morning that something that we say through your word would minister to our lives so that we can continue to influence our families, raise our children, do that which you've called us to do, that we might live out this life in a way that's pleasing to you. Father, we ask it even now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, now, it's interesting in the sense that, of course, God always knows what he's got planned and how he wants to deal with us on these different things that for us. Last week, we discussed, our message was called The Root of the Problem. And we talked about currently society and what it looks like and a lot of the issues and things that are going on. But I didn't want to leave you with the thought that, you know, Jesus didn't come to leave us helpless. But he did come that we might be able to have a renewed hope and a purpose in life once we come to Christ. Now, many people, of course, like I said, always talk about having a purpose and all this. And I think the scriptures are clear that prior to coming to Christ, you know, we are all on our way to a place that we don't want to go. We may not be aware of that. And we may not know it. But once we come to Christ, our purpose being renewed in the sense that God's intention and my thesis that I'm going to try to hopefully when I get through this today, that God expects us to develop his nature within ourselves as we extend his love to a lost and a dying world. So last week, although we talked about how bad it is and some of the strange things going on and all that, and even talked about how there are people who will say, well, you know, confusion over what's a man, what's a woman, what's this, what's that. And we said, yes, but in spite of all of this, we still know we're here right now and we have to deal with this world we're in. And we have to realize that God's intention is that everyone, as best that they can, would find salvation. God, the Bible in one place says that God waited 120 years or so, or at least that's when he told Noah man would survive from the moment he decided that that was it. I mean, he could have just done it then. Instead, he gave 120 years, he says. In another place, you look at the children of Israel in Egypt for 400 or so years before God ever delivered them. And you got to wonder from generation to generation as they cried out for God to deliver them from slavery and all, they still were stuck as slaves. But God had not forgotten them. And see, this is the thing for us as Christians, what's so difficult as Christians to understand is how can God be everything he says he is And then we seem to be going through these different things and stuff and all that as if God doesn't really care, when that's really not what's going on. The bottom line is that all of us are born at different times and in different generations and different sequences in time. And God has a bigger plan. You know, God created, the Bible says, man. This is what Jesus tells us happened in the beginning. God created man and woman. And that then we know the rest of the story. Through sin, evil came into the world. This was never God's design in the first place. God's design was a man, women, children, families happening, and God being their God, and everything just being great and wonderful in paradise. And man, through his lust, through him wanting or desiring something other than what God said, he disobeyed God, and sin came into the world, the Bible says, and now we're looking at the result of sin. And what did not change is that men and women are still here, and when they get together, they have children. So this is why the planet keeps having people. Because why? Because we're here. And as long as we're continuing to do what people do that brings about children, there are more children. God has something else going on. What? His intention to return the planet. Because the Bible says this, that God's going to create. A lot of people talk about heaven. Oh, I can't wait to get to heaven. Heaven is like a temporary place. The Bible says in one place, God says, I'm going to create a new heaven and a new earth. We will occupy the new earth. And God says in Revelation, eventually, his kingdom will rest with his creation. God will be on the planet. This is what I'm saying so crazy about Christianity. People could just leave it. You could walk away from Christianity right away without having to keep tearing a little fiber from here, there, and the rest of it. Well, I'm not sure about it. A guy said this the other day, preacher, the virgin birth of Jesus, that don't matter. What matters is he rose. No, my friend. We need somebody separate from sinners and not a sinner who died for us. You can't just have a regular guy who died. It don't matter he rose from the dead. He got to be the right one that died, right? The idea is not that the resurrection in and of itself, all of what God said, there's a purpose. So we see then that God now then, we get saved, and Peter helps us to understand something. Sister Miranda, I hadn't talked to her this morning, but I want to mention this. I was coming down the road here this morning, and it was a guy walking on the sidewalk. And I had the sense, maybe you should hold back for a minute, let him get further down the sidewalk so you don't startle him or anything like that, right? But I thought he had got far enough, So I slowed my truck down like I always do, and I went to back in, and he just flipped out. He turned around. He started cussing and hollering and screaming. Don't you see me on this sidewalk? And he's doing all this. And he starts coming toward my truck. So I'm looking at him, and I roll the window down. Now, I got right here. Okay, something that, can answer this real quick now. So he all just a throwing everywhere, cussing me and everything. And I said, what's the problem? And he said, I'm walking on the side where you pull your truck. Hey, man, hot. And I said, man, I'm really sorry. I said, I probably should have held back a little bit longer before I pulled up like that. And he said, he just deflated. Right then he just went like this, and he was like, okay, that's cool. I was just saying, man, you startled me, man. Then he turned around, he walked off. Now, had the exchange gone like Sister Miranda said, in other words, I'm sitting there feeling like, look, I already gave you some slack, bruh. Matter of fact, I don't need to slow down, period. Why you think you could be all hollering all up in my window and all this? And then if he'd have got up on me, well, would not have been nice. It wouldn't have been good. I wasn't going to get out and roll on the ground with him. I done passed them days now, I don't do that. I don't do it. And I carry an angel right there on the side. And now y'all would have been coming up to church, police everywhere, and, church clothes. Or you'd have seen it. You've got that little thing on your app, zing, from WAFB. Brookstown shot shooting, pastor involved in Brookstown shooting. And y'all be like, I wonder what pastor that could be. Then look, yeah, I'm trying to figure out what happened. Because I have allowed myself to get, boom, to blow out. And I can't say that I'd have always responded the way I did. I mean, I felt that I had given him way more than enough room. He was almost to the sign. But it just seemed like he was looking for somebody to get into it with, you know? And I guess it just happened to be the one, you know? But it wasn't that I thought to myself, don't do anything, don't. No, it just naturally, I was in a different place. And it just de-escalated because I didn't have a problem telling him I was sorry. See, this is where many people were running into the issue to start. Well, what you mean sorry? I ain't do you nothing no way. So now we about to go back and forward about who got the right to do what and all that. And before you know it, it escalates into something. Now we got a whole nother thing going here today than me up here about to tell you about it. In 2 Peter, Peter says this, and I want you to think about this. He says that in verse 3 of 2 Peter 2, 1, he says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So God says, we're told by Peter that God has given us everything we need in order for us to have life and godliness, he says, through the knowledge of him and have called us to glory and virtue. Then he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. My title today is The Divine Nature. You hear a lot about people, you know, they just think about man, you all. I always tell people, you know, I don't like debating with people and stuff. You look at last week, what we talked about, you know, I'm just giving you the root of the problem. But if you look, everybody's trying to be, you know, special. You know, you start talking about divine this and divine that, you know, now they got, and none of these movies have I seen, I've only heard. You know, you got one out there, something called A Woman Kang. You got another one over here. I hear the Black Panther done become a woman now. Everybody want to be special. And everybody wants to hold their place. The other day, somebody sent me a little thing, said God was a woman. And I'm like, whatever. Okay, sure, you can have whatever God you want. I don't care. That's what this is about, though. What people don't realize is that Jesus came and made it clear to us God's divine order of things. Now, people can do whatever they want. I'm not here to change nothing. I'm just here to communicate like Jesus told us to. Jesus said, look, in the beginning, God did this, and this is what happened, and this is why we're here. And there's going to come a moment, just like the Bible says when Jesus came, the Bible says in the fullness of time, God's Son came in the fullness of time. You can see it with anything on the planet. I keep telling people God's DNA is in everything. God ain't in everything, but God's DNA of order is in everything. Look at everything. Everything has a time. Women, I looked the other day, I said, okay, all right, I'll stop arguing with you. Women, men, whoever. Only people with wombs get pregnant. Now, the bottom line is, that's true. You ain't got no womb, you sure can't get pregnant, right? Just saying. Call yourself what you want. But if you ain't got a womb, you can't get pregnant. All right. I bet you that science works. All right. Now, the bottom line is, God created them wombless and womb. And now those get together and you produce a baby. That's how it happens, right? Now, if I don't understand what is occurring, God said that they got out of order to start, and because they got out of order, you have the battle of the sexes. You can see it in Genesis. It says that. God says, I'm going to make the man ruler, and I'm going to make the woman desire his position. That's the battle. Bam, 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 bam. So they're constantly battling. God says it wasn't intended to be that way. They were intended to be together with no thought about who was in charge. Their intention was to just be together. But y'all threw that off. So I'm going to set an order until I come back. And when I come back, then he says, as a matter of fact, there won't be any of that. Because the bottom line is you all are going to be like the angels. There won't even be any marrying and giving in marriage and all that stuff. Bottom line is, it's going to be a different setup when we're immortal, when God comes back and sets up his kingdom. But until that time, he says, I've given you everything you need to partake of my divine nature while you're still here. You're not divine. But if you'll notice that everything I said has God's DNA in it, nothing gets younger. It doesn't matter what it is. Children, animals, trees, your house, a piece of wood, just stick it out there and leave it. Nothing gets better over time. It decays. This is what happens. It just decays until it either dies or rots away or whatever. God says that the world is corrupted through lust. And that word corrupt just means rusted out and messed up and everything because of lust, desires that people have. Everybody's got a desire against the other one. I want to be this. I want to be that. I was listening to somebody the other day talking about, you know, black people again being, you know, the original Jews. And I was like, look, you know what? I don't care. I told somebody this the other day. I said, you can have, you want that? I said, okay, fine. Why don't we do that? So then that means when the Bible says that Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. Oh, okay. That sounds like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So Jesus showed up to the brothers and sisters and they was like, we ain't having it. He said he came to his own received him not. No, you're out of here. Crucify him. Away with him. Now, of course, that's when they're going to say, well, no. Them was the other Jews. Now, hold up now. So he came to his own. Now, so you got to make a decision. Who is his own? Either give it to somebody else or embrace it all. That means Judas sold out, brother, sold out the Lord. The Lord. You sold the Lord out. Well, we're going to make him something else too, I guess. But my understanding was he was right there with, you know, come on, y'all, let's accept. Go to the garden. Fine. You can be Adam and Eve. I'll give it to you. You can be as black as you want in the garden. That means then when the devil come down, start talking to Eve with her dark pigment itself. It obviously did not help her to understand, you don't need to be talking to this fool here. This is the devil. God done told you what to do. But she didn't listen, you know, like some people say, you know, yet, but I ain't saying that. And here comes Adam, Mr. Black Panther. Instead of him saying, Eve, what you doing, sister? No, he took the fruit, ate it. Just a filing the law. You want that story? I mean, I don't get it. To me, it don't matter, see, no matter what. Well, you was Noah. Okay, you could be Noah. Then you get off the boat and get drunk. As soon as you get off the boat, you got drunk. Then you could be any of his sons. It's all kind of crazy stuff. The bottom line is, ain't nobody got a good story. David.
We won't be David.
You do. You won't be the David, the one who saw the main wife, called her over, got her pregnant, then tried to hide it, cover it up, and then kill somebody to make sure they got covered up. That's the David you want to be. You know, you can't co-opt figures and leave. That's why God got all the garbage in the book. You see, but most of the time, people just don't want to deal with that. Everything has a consequence, like Sister Miranda said. God's like, look, I don't care. He says, I don't care about none of y'all. Don't y'all understand? In Christ, there's neither Jew, he said, nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female. Although what? There's still an order that has to take place because y'all still here. But in my mind, the way I see the world, I've told you how I want you to function while you're still here. But in Christ, I don't see these distinctions. I don't look at that. You a Jew, you a Gentile, you this, you that, you male, you female, you bond, you free. No, I'm looking at, are you doing what I told you to do? Are you faithful to what I'm telling you? And do you understand what it takes in order for you to get there? If you want to be a partaker of my divine nature, he says, I've given you everything you need. He says, if you want to escape the corruption that's out there. And he says it comes through lust. And lust don't have to be nasty. Like I told you, lust is just inordinate desire. It's a desire for things that are not of God. That's why the Bible says the love of the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, none of it's of God. Now, we're here and we got to be here. We got it. But it's not God's world. He's already said that. The Bible says God so loved the world, the people in it, that he gave his only begotten son. His son showed up and explained it all to us. Y'all, it's a delusion. You're in the matrix. It's a trick. Don't let the devil fool you. Don't get caught up in what you see. You have to be here, yes, But don't let him fool you. This is why I keep trying to tell people Christianity to me is crazy. It's crazy. I mean, think about what we're saying. Jesus actually died. He's alive right now, and he's in heaven, sitting on the right hand of God. That's what we confess. How can we not have faith in anything then? If we really believe that, and God and Jesus in charge, then we pray and ask Jesus to do things. Well, if he don't do them, our response should be, well, obviously, God, he don't want to do that right now. It should not be, I just don't know if my faith don't work. It just don't seem like God is there. Well, you got to establish that up front now. Either God there or he ain't. If he ain't, move on, because ain't nothing going to save you here. All you got to do is go out in the world and see. Like this morning, that brother was one bullet away from meeting somebody else. If I had not known this man I'm talking about now, if I didn't know the man I know now, he would have been. I'd have sent him on because I wouldn't have let him get that close to my truck to start. He was like right up on the window before I was, you know, went on, brother. Before I was called, he wasn't going to get up in there with me. And here, we got a law on that. The truck is, that's like my house. You can't just come crawling up inside of my truck. I don't care how mad you are or what you think I did. You were over there. How you get over here? But instead of me corrupting my life through lust, because lust of the eye, lust of the eye, pride of life. How dare you? I'm a man just like you. Why you think you can handle me out here like this? Matter of fact, I look old enough to be your daddy. But he hollering, screaming, and all this here. You see, that pride could lead to what? It's about to be on, right? And God's like, no. I've given you everything. I want you to develop my nature within you so you can extend the love of God to the world. I need you to be able to calm down, son, and just tell him you're sorry. Extend the love of Christ. Do you think Jesus would whip out there with on him right now? Probably not. And if you think about it, I tried. If you believe at all in the sense of the Holy Spirit, you had a sense to back off anyway. I really did. I'm telling y'all, as I was coming down the sidewalk, I think maybe I should hold back a little bit longer. But in my head, I was like, but he already had the sign. But that wasn't the problem. The problem was whatever was going on with him, he needed to get past the sign. But instead of me following that sense, I went on and did what I felt to do, and now I was in it. Well, now you got to, what's next? What are we going to do next? Well, you cannot. You have to allow God's nature at this point to be able to kick in your life, because God wants people saved. God ain't in heaven up there just waiting to get back so he can kill all the sinners. Now, I don't know what people are thinking. Even if you don't agree with people, and you disagree with everything, and you think everything is plainly explained in the book, that's not what we are supposed to be doing. This is what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. I'm going to read this to you. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. I think I had them, gave them that scripture. Okay, go ahead and put that up there. This is, look at what it says. I exhort, therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead, look at what it says, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now stop right there. For a minute, now think about what you hear most of the time people saying Christians supposed to be doing. Now we ain't pushing back on society, and we ain't this, and we ain't that, and we ain't the other, and we ain't this. Now here the Bible plainly says, let's look at it again. He tells us to pray for kings and for all that are in authority. That us, people say, well, you make us think it's like it's about y'all. It is. This is in God's mind right now, it is. It's about his people. I need y'all to understand, you're in a hostile world. I just want you to pray. Pray for everyone in authority. Pray for kings. Pray for everyone. Why? And for what? That you may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Next verse. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Stop right there. Okay, that's God's will. See, God's desire is that every single person walking this planet would come to him. But of course, what most people have their problem with is Christians are so, how do they say it in that? We're so narrow-minded and matter-of-fact. Well, we don't have a choice. I mean, you got to remember what our faith says. Christ died. He said there's one way. He says if you reject me, you will not see life. This is what Jesus said. That's why I tell people it's easy to decide you don't want to be a Christian, because Jesus made it plain. It wasn't the pastors, it ain't the people. Jesus said it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Rejecting me, you reject life. You reject God. Now, you can say, fine, I don't believe that. Walk away from it. And that's okay. Why get mad? God's doing this, though. God says this. I'm doing everything I can. Now, I want you to think about this. I didn't give her this verse. But I want you to just think about this. Now, in the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, I want to go over to Daniel chapter 9 right quick. And I just want to share something with you. And I want you to think about this. Now, Daniel had been praying, and the Jews were captive in Babylon. Jeremiah had prophesied. Now, I want you to remember this. Now, these are historical books. All these books existed. The Jews currently still use these books. Jeremiah, Daniel, they just reject us and the New Testament. But Jeremiah, Daniel, all these books, they had them at the time that Jesus came. Okay, now, I want to read something to you. And these books existed. Now, these existed. These are not books we just came up with. They existed at the time. Now, this is what it says in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel had been praying. He says an angel came and answered his prayer. And this is what the angel told him. Because he said that he was praying because he says, God, Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah said, we would be here for 70 years in Babylon captivity. The 70 years is almost up. What's the deal? What's happening? He's praying and confessing his sins and everything. And all of a sudden, this angel shows up. And the angel says, okay, I'm sent here to tell you what's happening. I'm going to begin at verse 23. If you have it, if you don't, I'm just going to read it. This is Jeremiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 23. It says, this is the angel talking to him. At the beginning of your supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show you, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon your people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. So in other words, he says the angel is explaining to Daniel, I know you think the Jews, they are the chosen people, and you know that the Messiah is supposed to rule from Israel, and that is going to happen. He says, I'm going to tell you, you're in Babylon right now, I'm going to tell you how this is going to happen. He says, there's going to be 70 weeks, and we've determined that the weeks actually are translated years, basically, when they say weeks. Then he goes on and says, verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. So he's saying, now, Daniel, I want you to understand, this is what's going to happen. There's going to be a king, and the king is going to allow them to go back and to rebuild the city and the temple. It's going to happen in very troublous times, etc. But once, from the day that command goes forth, and it came from Cyrus the king, and he sent them back, and they went back to build that wall. And when you calculate the weeks with this, it's almost dead on when Jesus shows up in Jerusalem. The Bible then says this, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Now, I don't understand why. See, look up there. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Now, what I don't understand about this is why the Jews still insist Messiah is coming. Well, if that there's no way this prophecy could be fulfilled. If Messiah is still coming, it says in there, if you use weeks, that was sure a problem. Everyone determined that the way weeks are utilized in the Bible, it refers to years. So when you calculate the 70 weeks to the point and subtract what's there, Bam, Jesus, the year they say he's coming into Jerusalem. He walks into Jerusalem, just like Daniel said. And then look at what happens. It says, no, stay where you were. Stay where you were. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. No, for who? Us. And then look what it says. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now, Jesus declared to them, they walked out of the temple and they said, wow, master, look at all these buildings and how great they are and everything. Jesus said, not one stone will be left upon another. And they said, when shall these things be? And Jesus said, this generation is going to see it. Sure enough, Jesus was crucified somewhere around 30, 33 A.D. And then 70 A.D., within the generation, the entire temple and the city of Jerusalem and all of it was destroyed. Not one stone left upon another of that temple. And that temple ain't been built back yet. It's still there. 2,000 years. The Jews have been talking about getting a temple. They got a temple committee now trying to rebuild a temple. But the point is, that, hey, that temple, poof, toast. That's what, look what the Bible says. Look what Daniel told them. It's going to get cut off. He says, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city, that was the Romans, and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Okay, but what else happens? And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So some suggest there's a year, a week coming, and in the midst of that week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination, she shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So in other words, the Bible is saying that there's going to, this Messiah got cut off, not for us, not for himself, but for us, and then the Romans came, destroyed everything that has anything to do with Judaism and dispersed all the Jews. And then the Bible seems to indicate there's going to be something, though, that's going to happen again, where then this sacrifice is ultimately going to get cut off, and then the end will occur, where God will finally wrap it all up, and Jesus will descend down, and we're going to all see him, like the Bible says. Now, what I don't understand is how anybody, Jewish, that used this book could even hold to it anymore. Because Daniel, the book of Daniel, done way past rebuilding the temple. I mean, that's over with. That's not happened. I mean, it's done. It got built. It got destroyed. And now we're done. 2,000 plus years have gone by. Well, who are you waiting on? Well, we know who you're waiting on. The Bible says who they're waiting on. Paul said who they're waiting on. They're waiting on this fella. They don't know it, but he's called the man of sin. Y'all know him in the movies. Y'all know Damon and all them, you know, 666, that one. Yeah, that's who they're waiting for. Nobody knows that's who they're waiting for. But the Bible says something now in it that used to trouble everybody, and they'd be like, I ain't no way we could do that. The Bible says in one place, no one will be able to buy or sell lest they took the mark of this person. And if they don't take the mark, then that's it. You out of here. They're going to take your head from you, right? And people used to say, oh, that's ridiculous. That's some more of that Bible fantasy stuff. All you got to do now, look at what the federal government's talking about doing now. They're going to have a Fed coin, maybe. Basically do away with all dollars, no cash. And the bottom line is they can turn your money on and off. They can turn it on if they're good with you. They can turn it off if they ain't. So you're only steps and steps away from eventually being in a situation where a person who controls the economic system literally could flip your money on and off. In Canada, they did it with the truckers. They didn't like what the truck drivers were doing. So basically, if you donated to a particular event, they cut your funds. PayPal cut people off. Imagine, we don't like what Pastor White say, so he can't use PayPal no more. He can't use nothing no more. So y'all can't donate nothing. See, that's the idea. That's how you control the voice by doing what? Shut it off. You look at all the social media. The algorithms control it. You say certain things, whoop, it's gone over here. You put certain things on, whoop, it's gone over there. Or you go on certain platforms and say certain things, you out of here. You ain't on it. There's a constant mode going to control what's being said. But people keep getting it for the wrong reason. This ain't got nothing to do with all them other reasons. It's all building up to us. He's after us. And God's told him, he's coming for you. But you got to understand something. I've given you what you need to walk through it while you're here until he gets here. He may not even get here while you're here. You can live your life and move past all of the crazy if you just do what I'm telling you. And even he says, and this is what we're talking about the Bible, what God says, just do what I'm telling you. He says, because his will is that all these people get saved. God is not just up there waiting, but I'm telling you, there's going to come a moment that we call always the fullness of time. A woman gets pregnant. She says, ooh, I'm pregnant. And you say, ooh, that's nice. And then 6 months from now, she still weigh the same. What do we say? Something ain't right about that. Well, that's what you're supposed to say. If 6 months done gone by and the baby ain't gained a pound, she ain't got to gain nothing. But at least the baby ought to weigh a pound. Something, right? Because what's supposed to be? It's 12 months now. And ain't nothing happened. Well, obviously, somebody told her she was pregnant. But what we know about pregnancy, she was not pregnant. The fullness of time is normally what? 9 months, maybe a few days, one way or the other. But for the most part, it's about 9 months. That's the way it works. The fullness of time. Look at roses. They blossom at a certain time. There's a fullness of time. God's saying, my God exhibits such patience, if people would understand it. When you look at the world and how it thumbs its nose at God and tells him he don't exist to start, and everything that he created, they don't believe he did it no way. And the way we tell him that he say it for the work, they don't believe, don't care, and he ain't got nothing to do with it. Matter of fact, we're going to create God in our own image. I think you're a woman. It's okay. God don't get mad. We get all huffed up by God. God is up there doing God. He's not angry. God right now is very patient, trying to do what? Keep people from losing their souls. That's God's main objective. Now, if people don't believe in it, well, you don't have to look at I tell people, stop fussing with people. Why are you fussing with them? That's their soul. If they say, look, I don't believe none of that. Oh, okay, I ain't about to argue with your body. You move on. Why are you getting all frustrated? You have to understand, God, this is where God is trying to take us. He says this in 2 Peter 3, 1 through 12. Let's look and see what Peter said. 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to read it to you. Verse 1 through 12, he says this. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that in the last days shall come scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of, by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perish. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So in other words, he's like, look, let's talk about us, what we're supposed to be doing, right? We're praying. We're in a world that is disintegrating around us by the minute. Now, I'm going to read to you go back through what Peter said, and I want you to just be honest with yourself. No matter what you think about Jesus even, just be honest with yourself. If every single individual exhibited what we're going to read back again, what would the world look like? Let's just put religion on the side for a minute. Watch this. This is what Peter says. All right, we're going to go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to begin. Let's go down. We're going to go Well, we're going to start at verse 4. He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. This is God's nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Remember we said before, faith without works is dead. If you don't have faith, it's impossible to please God. But he doesn't stop there. He says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Now I want you to think about the remember the world again. Because God's position and Jesus' position is that the reason the world can't function in these is because they can't partake of the divine nature. They don't have the ability to do so. Without the Holy Spirit, you never will have the ability to partake of the divine nature. Many of us can do different things. We can try this, try that, try the other. But the bottom line is that God is like, look, absent my spirit, you cannot partake of my divine nature because you are subject to the nature of man that the devil controls. Look at money. Money, if I could rail on money, I'm going to get a week, I'm going to rail on it. I'm just going to rail on it. Money is, people say it ain't, the Bible say love of money is root of all evil. I got it. I fully understand that. Yeah, but that's the point. There are very few people who tell you that they go to work and if they could get more, they wouldn't. In other words, you tell them, look, you have enough. What if I give you more money? Would you take it? Most people say, well, of course I would. Why? You don't need it. Why not take it and give it to somebody? Well, I mean, you know, you love it. No, I don't. I don't love no money. You love money. You know you love it. And here's the problem with money. Money is a corrupter. And that's what the Bible says. It's a god. And nowhere, every time you see Jesus talking about money, he's railing on it. He's railing on it. I mean, he just, you never see Jesus saying, you know, money is the children's bread. He doesn't say that. Never. Anytime Jesus talking about money, he's like, look, hardly shall a rich man get into heaven. Every time he's talking about money, he's trying to make it clear to us what the problem is and what money do to people. Now, I'm not going to sing the O.J. song. Some of y'all don't even remember it. But the bottom line was the O.J.s were the one who told you. A woman will sell her precious body all for a piece of paper. It carries a lot of weight. And mean. Yeah. Think about what they were saying. Look at the world. Come on, y'all. Be honest with yourself. Look at the world. Most people hate church. Why? Money. All they talk about is money. You go in there, that's all they want, some money. Ain't pastor satisfied with his house? He got a bigger house. Oh, Lord, they ain't this, that, money. That's all they ever talk about. Offering for this, offering for that, offering. The biggest complaint, start talking about tithing. That ain't in the Bible. That's Old Testament stuff. People, Nick start getting all, why are you all upset? It's just money. If you don't care, just leave all yours in the box on the way out. We'll put it to use. Money. People are getting mad about that money. People rob your house. They don't rob your house because they just like being robbers. I'm just a robber. They don't come to your house, take your stuff, to give it to the poor. That's Robin Hood. That's fantasy. People rob your house so they can put your stuff in their house and your money in their pocket. Imagine if money was worthless today. I want you to give it up. I mean, you'd be like, yeah. It's worthless. It's worth it. The money ain't worth nothing. Why would a woman hold on to her purse? You got my purse. What's in there? Just let them have it. What's in there? Money. And your credit card. Some people say, well, but it's mine. So you're going to fight for your life over a purse that they got more of them in the store. It's something up in that purse. Now, it might be something that mean to you. Some person that gave you something and it's valuable and you don't want to lose it. Well, I would suggest you just holler out. Can you throw me that wallet? You can keep the money, just I need that wallet. My mom gave it to me as a present or something. You know, whatever. But you don't. What is it? Money. That money. It make you tear your hair out, that money. I'm going to go through these things, and I want you to think about it. If everybody in the world would possess these traits, I'm going to circle around next week because I'm not going to have enough time to delve into these like I want to, but we're going to do more with this later. But I want you to think about this person. You meet this person, and this is what the person is like. They have virtue. Virtue is, it comes from a Greek word that means manliness. They're not a man, but they have this sense of excellence. Virtue. They are the kind of person that they believe in what they say. You know, they're not just going to say stuff and just be talking. Y'all know people like that. Yeah, they tell you some stuff, but they're, you know, I'm with you, brother. You better get yourself something else. They ain't tell me they with you. They ain't with you. Virtue is this concept of, you know, valor, intrinsic excellence that just flows off of the person when you meet them. Knowledge comes from the word gnosis, meaning to know. That is, by implication, knowledge of things like science and other things. You know, people are always hitting, and I keep trying to tell people, come on now, y'all. You can't play science with this hand and then something else with that hand. That's why I said that when I made that statement. I wasn't trying to be facetious. My point is true. In the beginning, God created them, womb and wombless, because the Bible says this is where woman came from. Yeah, she was man with a womb. Woman. That was the point of it. But stretch that off. It doesn't matter. If you don't have a womb, you can't have a child. Now, that's science. You can get mad at me all you want. I won't talk about Jesus. I won't talk about science. Everybody wants to talk about, well, let's talk about science. You can't prove God. Okay, but I can prove this. You ain't got no womb. Can we have that discussion? Oh, no. Because, see, people like me eventually get stoned. If you can't resist what I'm saying, ain't but one place for me. You got to kill him. Because you got to tell him out. Because what he's saying, you can't resist that. That's science. If you're going to tell children to follow science, then I'm telling them science. You can't. That's why we burn books first, then we kill the people. Because there's some of us, you can burn the book. I know what Timothy said. I know what Peter said. I know what Paul said. I know what I'm waiting on. I know where it's in Genesis. Say, you can burn all the books. It don't matter to me. I know what this book says. The Bible says, put the word in your heart so that what? You won't sin against God. Don't just pick it up. You got to know. Look at the next one, temperance. Temperance comes from a Greek word that basically means self-control, the ability to control yourself. Without the Spirit of God, why you think there's so much domestic violence, y'all? And let's be stereotypical about it, because stereotypes, as my professor said, occur because for over 60% of the population, they are true. Now, you can get mad all you want, but you wouldn't get mad at a stereotype if it wasn't true. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So if somebody pull their pants down, be walking with their pants down and bugger. I saw a brother yesterday. He had to hold his pants. I mean, I get it if you want to buckle them and they stay there. He wouldn't even stay there. So he was trying to walk while he was holding them. And I'm like, something don't seem to make sense about that, but he sure did it. And he walking like this and went on in there with that. And I'm like, okay. That's not how you're supposed to wear them. You know, pants are designed so they come up, so they'll hold up there. And even if you don't have a belt, they'll kind of sag down a little bit. But if they're the right size here, they won't even fall down. But if they're too big, you can't, you know, you got to pull them up, they fall back down. But you're supposed to use a belt to at least hold them. Well, his was so big, even the belt, they was falling down. I said, miss, maybe this is the new style. You just get a rope, and now you get it up. I don't know what this is about. What are we doing? Look, temperance is about self-control, the ability to control yourself. So when that guy walked up, see, the thing is that we don't have that by nature. Why is so much domestic violence, I was about to say, and why stereotypical? All right, I don't want to get off my point. Stereotypes develop because I said for the majority of the population, they're true. So when you see somebody making fun of black youth with their pants hanging down, let's say, and you won't get mad. Where you think that came from? If you didn't see it nowhere, you wouldn't even get mad. They trying to stereotype our kids. They're not stereotype. It's called stereotype. But it's because for the majority of the population. So thus, I'm going to lead into domestic violence. Why do men end up beating up women? Stereotypically. Women can beat up men. Yes, they can. I know. But stereotypically, men are the ones beating up women. Why are they doing that? People say, I don't know. Something wrong with them. Yes, exactly. Now, irrespective of what you think about what was just said, you got to put your hands back in your pockets. You can't, people. Especially men, you're not supposed to be beating on women. Why do you think that they made, battery with strangulation is a new level of domestic crime? Because, unfortunately, that's what the men were doing. Yeah, you know, they get in there and get to push you around, then all of a sudden they grab you around your neck, start choking you. Folks, that's when you people go after choking people, that's a child like trying to kill people. Well, this is what happened with the brothers. One, upset and angry, couldn't control himself, boom, kill. God says that none of us have ultimate self-control. Now, I want you to think about it. Whatever it is going on in your life that you don't like, it's tied directly to self-control. Yeah, I mean, Sister Lori, if she would just stop buying them little mini chocolate things, I could stop eating them. It's all her fault. Because she buys them and then she spreads them on the table. Like, hey, come get you some. Walk through the living room, they just all over the table. But she never has ever once come in there and said, you will eat these. I walk by, and the chocolate be calling me. I be like this. I will not eat you. Stop talking to me. Ah, that chocolate ain't talking. You need to exercise some self-control. You just have to. You have to do it. But we can't. There's something, I don't know what, maybe all y'all look like y'all don't have this problem. But all of us got something that is like, okay, maybe you watch too much TV. Maybe you say, I ain't watching no more of that. Next thing you know, you're watching it again. Why are you doing that? Whatever it is, it's about self-control. Imagine the world as it is today. If everyone had self-control, like that guy going down there, he ain't like what I did. Bro, control yourself. You just look, he could turn around and say, those preachers, and keep going. Just control yourself. We wouldn't have had no fight out there, no law necessary after I done shot him that we got to sit there and do what? Self-defense. Was it self-defense? Did I have a right? He all up in my truck. Do I have to wait for him to start choking me or can I just do it? You see, none of that would have been necessary. No law necessary. Why? He controlled himself. I control myself. Patience. Patience comes from the Greek word meaning to be cheerful or hopeful. Yeah, patience means to be cheerful or hopeful. Comes from a word that means constancy. I mean, I'm consistent. No matter what I see, I'm hopeful. I got patience for the future. Imagine if everyone was like this now. Everything we put in there now, we ain't talking about religion at all. But imagine if the whole world was full of people like this. So now, you ain't moving fast enough. We're in the lunch line. Look, I got to get back to work. What you ordering up there? I mean, you know, you ever notice you get behind people that got 16 of them in the car? And they want individual order, too. They can't just take one order. No. Okay, now, it's my turn. That's why they had to start limiting 4 orders per car, 5 per car. Because what? People, if you want to do that, come inside. Don't hold up the drive-thru. The drive-thru was made to go like this. That's why they call it drive-thru. But if you were patient, them people wouldn't be back there on top of your car after you done said the wrong thing or blew the horn. And now you're trying to figure out why you're in it again with somebody. Why? Because you ain't got no patience. Imagine how much the children would feel so much better if we just had some patience. Sit down! Why are you always spilling stuff? Because that's what children do. They will find something to spill if they can. That's why I told Sister Lauren, I might just tell you, look, y'all need to keep your cheering out the sanctuary. Because I already know. They'll just, he'll follow them around because I'm telling you, they're going to be looking for something to spill. Where can I put it? It's children, you know, but if you got patience, then you don't end up doing something to the children that you shouldn't. You know, you got self-control, got it, but you need some patience as well. So you know what? I remember how I used to be. But think about the world. If the world was like this, see, this is why Peter said this. This is why, look at this verse here. Let me find it right quick. This is why Peter said this in 2 Peter we were at. Let me read this. Let me find this right quick for you. This is why he said this, though. Look at verse number 9. Put verse 9 back up there. This is what he says. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I mean, you know, you hear some people talk about people, and you would think, and look, now, all y'all grown in here, so I'm going to try not to say nothing too bad, and I try to stay on the lane in between the bumpers. But you would think that when you hear people talking about the sexual things going on out there today, that, you know, ain't nobody in here did nothing outside the sexual bounds of whatever God say is right. And I'm going to leave it at that. That sounded pretty clean, huh? Yeah, you ain't never done nothing. Now, that includes, I don't care it was a woman and a man. I don't care about none of that. I'm talking about within the bounds of what God said. And God looked like his bounds is, look, we all get married, and then that's our partner for the rest of our lives. That's what God's standard is. Now, you may be that with them people. Cool, I'm good. But the point I'm making with you right now is that most of the people, stereotypically, have done something outside the bounds of God's sexual rules. And he says the problem that they seem to have while they talking about all these other people is that they forgot they got purged from their old sins. I get it. I know you ain't never did that. But now, come on now, but you did that.
Well, but that ain't the same.
Ain't the same, but as far as God concerned, it ain't right, and it's sin. Well, we so harped up on, you know, what some people doing, and God's like, look, I'm going to need y'all to back up a little bit and pay attention to yourself, because I need you to get through here, because some of these people ain't never going to meet me if they think I'm like you. Yeah, no patience. I ain't got no patience. I mean, no, Lord, where'd you come from, up under a rock? You mean you've never been in the world? You never, you know, you talk to your kids sometimes when people just remember what you were like as a kid. That's all I tell people. Some people say, well, I never did anything. Oh, man, it's possible. Godliness. The word means piety. Specifically the gospel scheme, meaning godliness or holiness in the sense that I keep myself separated from things that are not right. All right? In other words, think about it. Think about it like this. Remember, we ain't saying nothing about religion. But everybody's got what they think is right and wrong. But you stay away from what you think ain't right. So at least if we all stay away from what we think ain't right, and we all, without God, could come to a conclusion, at least I would like to think, that you messing with me ain't your right. Well, it ain't. You don't have the right to do me anything. Nowhere does anybody have that right. If you don't like what I'm doing, you can tell me that, I guess. But the point is, you don't have a right to intervene. Imagine if everybody was just walking around talking about what they think was right instead of trying to force on everybody what they think is right. From either side or any side or all angles, doesn't matter. Everyone can believe whatever they want to as long as you keep it to yourself. And we all on the planet together. It's getting quieter already. Because, you know, you could tell me what you think, but it doesn't bother me because I have patience and self-control, and I have the virtue I walk in, and I have my knowledge of science and the things that I believe, and I'm just here doing my thing, right? Next, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is fraternal affection. In other words, that means you actually literally care about other people like they're your family. Now, I'm telling you, without getting into no details or nothing like this, if you want to see people flip their mind about certain different things, let it be their brother. Let it be their sister. Let it be their cousin. Man, it depends on how close a cousin. But normally when it's our brother, sister, our mothers and stuff like that, all of a sudden we find out they were doing stuff that we was preaching against it. All of a sudden, we find out. Well, we're a little more patient. We're a little more understanding. I was reading about this lady who left her church because of its position on gay people. Till she found out, well, when she found out her daughter was gay, All the positions she held on it, she didn't want to hold them no more. And she left the church because people at church wouldn't change their mind. Right, but your mind wasn't changed till your situation changed. My point is this. Irrespective of whether we believe, disbelieve, agree, disagree, the point is that if everyone in the world loved people like that, I don't have to do nothing what you're doing. And I could very well believe you going to hell. And the reason you're not going to do me nothing is because you got all that patience and tenderness and virtue and all of that, and you got brotherly love toward me. You ain't going to kill me because I just told you I think you might go to hell for doing certain things. You ain't going to, and you going to tell me, hey, you know, and I think you're going to go too. And we all smiling while we talking. I think you're going to go too, because anyone who could believe that about people can't know the real God. And you smiling and I'm smiling and we smiling instead of what? Boy, don't make me slap you. You know, we about to do this, right? No, we're not doing that. We all smiling. So far, we all on the planet just walking around smiling because we exercising our faith in whatever you choose to believe, but whatever it is, when it's all over, it adds virtue and knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and then finally, charity. The idea, the broader sense of agape, it's called, which is benevolence. The idea of love in its most purest form. It's the kind that basically Paul talks about in Corinthians, that he says, even if you give your body to be burned, if you don't do it because you love the people, it doesn't matter. See, so in other words, if I'm preaching the gospel to a group of people that I think need Jesus, but I'm not doing it because I care about them. I honestly believe the gospel. I honestly believe that when we die, we're going to meet this God and we got to have Jesus as our propitiation for our sins. I really believe that. And because I care about you, folks, listen to me. Right now today, if this building caught on fire and my worst enemy was in here, if I had one, not that I do. Let's say they caught on fire and they were in here and I heard them screaming. They were being burned up, but I knew how to let them out of that door. I would not just stand outside and let them scream and burn to death because they my enemy. I wouldn't do that. I'd open the door. So in my mind, as a Christian pastor, even evangelist and other, my mind becomes, what if that's what you believe is happening, do you owe it at all to say something? Or do you say, look, I don't want to offend nobody. I don't want you mad at me and hollering and screaming and all that. But should I say something? The house is on fire. I really believe that. But the point is, we all have that same love for each other. And you would have it so much for me that you'd be saying the same thing. Brother, I believe you're so blind. See, in other words, you wouldn't get angry at me because I told you I was going to hell. You would turn and say, brother, I love you just as much, and I think you're so blind. I mean, don't you know that God is a tree? And as a tree, I mean, trees, you ever had a hateful tree you met? They grow their leaves, they drop their leaves, and they mind their own business. That's how God is. And I'd say, I know, but I think God is like this, and I think you're going to go to hell. And I think, oh, you're just so deceived, they say to me. Look at the world we're in. It's a world full of flower cheering. If you think about it, if you put that on every single person, I'm going to get ready to close with this. But Peter says this cannot be so. Peter says the problem is the world is corrupted through lust. Lust of the eye, lust of flesh, the pride of life. Now, what I need you all, God's children, to do is to become these people. I need you to start partaking of the divine nature. Faith is good, but I need you to start adding to your faith. Add to your faith virtue and add to your virtue knowledge. So see, when people start dealing with me about stuff, No. We ain't talking about a subject I ain't got no knowledge on now. And that's why it comes hard when we start talking about the Hebrew thing. People get upset because I'm like, they can't resist what I just said. You either kill Jesus or not. Now get out of my way. I ain't got time to mess with you. You either messed with the devil or you didn't. Get out of my way because you don't know the whole story then. If you know her, fine. You saved the world, but you got drunk. And your kid, you were so drunk, your boy walked in, you didn't even know he was there. You know, you got one of your kids cursed. That's basically what happened. Yeah, you know, let's move on. Temperance, just be self-control. I don't get mad at people like that. I just say what I think. If they blow out, I just be looking at them like, nah, that was the day I didn't. But you got to get there. Patience, still working on it. Some things, oh, God, I just ain't got no patience, man. Godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. See, God's like, I need y'all to be adding this on to your life while we worry about everything I'm about doing. He says, I want you to focus and take your diligence and start growing these traits about yourself so that when it's over, each encounter you have in a situation, especially when it just pops off like it did this morning, you don't find yourself on the wrong side of the situation, but God can give you the life that you want right now. I don't want to go to jail. Oh, look, I already said I've never gone to jail. I just don't want to go to jail. Well, then good. Well, why don't you try to make sure you handle yourself in a way that you don't have to be dealing with that? Look, every head bowed, every eye closed.